This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, readying information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Gas prices have gone up. 12 students are drugged at a college party. And Carl Paladino, Republican candidate for governor in New York, doesn't want his children brainwashed into being gay.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, pay heed. For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, October 11th, 2010. A sign written in Spanish led two people to the body of a fisherman who fell into the Columbia River last month. County Sheriff Frank Rogers of Brewster, Washington, told the Wenatchee World newspaper that two men were driving on State Route 17 Wednesday between Bridgeport and Brewster when they spotted a small handwritten sign. It said, in Spanish, "Dead body, water," with an arrow pointing towards Washburn Island. They stopped, walked to the river, and saw the body, and then called the police. Rogers says the body has been identified as 63-year-old Gary A. Riera, who apparently fell out of his 10-foot boat in rough waters while fishing on September 4th. Rogers says he has no idea why those who wrote the sign didn't contact authorities, unless they just didn't want to deal with police.
I was going to say, I'm trying to figure out if this is one of those, how society has declined, into what chaos and apathy we have descended stories or not, because you got to figure, on some level, it actually takes more time to find cardboard, find a thing to write with. You got to figure out which way you're facing, which way the body is. You got to find a way to affix the sign. And then you got to put it in a place where it's going to be noticed by somebody eventually, as opposed to just using, like, your drug dealer phone, for example, which can't be traced to anybody in particular, and calling the cops and going, "Hey, dead body, but I got to go fishing." So, I mean, you know, whenever you get a chance.
I don't have a drug dealer phone.
Well,
it's
sure,
an
that's...
actual
no,
real
I...
phone.
No, I understand that we can't say now. I know. You tell the cops it's not a drug dealer phone. I know how the game is played, Don. I know how you got to keep the man off your trail, the heat, the fuzz, Johnny Law.
And speaking of that, though, because I am a scofflaw, I do kind of admire that whoever this was, they didn't want to deal with the cops, which I can completely understand, but they cared enough to actually make a sign so that the body would be found.
Well, you know, it's not like the body's going anywhere. It's presumably going to be there in the following hours, days, weeks, months, whatever. So
the easiest thing would have been just to go, "Oh, dead body. I don't want to call the cops.
Now,
I'm just going to leave now."
Did you say this? Is this a thing I'm just making up in my head? Was this actually like, it was like a fishing hole?
He had fallen into the Columbia River, and this was found. He was found on an island, I guess, in the Columbia River.
All right.
So, yes, but I just, dead body, water, arrow.
That way. It's like the world's worst roadside attraction. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. And don't forget, you can... Yeah, and note how I did it flawlessly. Yeah. Executing it without error, as we do every day, Don. You can get this program later on today if you like, if it's your fancy, at iTunes. You can also download it from Cascadia.fm as an MP3 or from LegionOfNews.com. And I do believe it is also available on your mobile device, available in the palm of your hand. Figuratively speaking, until someday when the mark of the beast is implanted, then literally the palm of your hand, without which you will obtain neither goods nor services. Anywho, that's at mobile.cascadia.fm. This is Don Taylor.
I also want to point out to listeners that today is a special day and that I am not manning the chat box. No, you are, Rick Emerson.
Yes.
You are.
Yes.
So anything that anybody wants to type in there, it is going directly to the eyes of Rick Emerson. It will not be filtered through me. So, you know, any snotty remarks you have about Rick Emerson are going directly to him, not to me.
Sure. Let's all labor under the illusion that that's true. There's a big yellow button right in the middle of this browser. So that's all I'm saying.
Gas prices rose 8 cents a gallon in the past 2 weeks. Trilby Lundberg, we are a fan of Trilby Lundberg.
The thing
here,
is, I've actually created my own theme for her. You know, like in my head, I've actually created a Trilby Lundberg, sort of a Trilby Lundberg thing.
Oh, that's nice.
Or sort of a not Trilby's thoughts or Larry King's people. What is that column that Larry King used to write? The Larry King's King's things or something.
Yeah.
But Trilby Lundberg, when we listen to her sound bites and just based on her name, she sounds like your photo at Cinematical, I think it was, used to look. Was it Cinematical when you were writing the online movie column?
Oh, dear God, no. That was Film.com.
That
yeah.
Hints from Heloise, like press photo, where it looked like, now you kids, you can get that stain out with lemon juice.
I'm wacky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what Trilby Lundberg seems like, just sort of in my mind's eye. She looks like your press photo from Film.com. Yeah.
See, and I always think of, because the name Trilby sounds sort of elfin and adorable.
I'm Trilby Lundberg.
But then Lundberg is the name of Bill Lundberg.
Yes.
From Office Space.
Yes,
so I always think of like this sort of like adorable girl with this kind of pixie bowl haircut leaning against the edge of a cubicle drinking out of a coffee cup.
Okay. Like with sort of pointy ears. And,
yes.
Yeah. All right.
Trilby Lundberg spoke about the rise of gas in the last 2 weeks.
That was a big overture for a little show.
Retail gasoline now costs $2.77 on average nationwide.
Okay, that doesn't sound like Trilby Lundberg.
Well, you handed me this, and it says Trilby Lundberg.
I mean, it is the correct soundbite. I'm playing the right.
Okay.
I'm playing the right thing, but I'm saying
you don't think that's maybe she has a cold.
I'm saying we've been given a bill of goods. First of all, this sounds like a black woman.
Retail gasoline now costs $2.77 on average nationwide.
No, that's Trilby Lundberg.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Play one of your saved up Trilby Lundberg things if you have
from
handy.
From my stalker file.
Yes.
The file of Trilby cuts, which I clutch to my bosom each night as I drift off into a murder filled sleep.
Precisely.
I don't really do that.
Lundberg says some drivers are paying quite a bit less.
In the lower 48, we have Tucson as a low, $2.51 for regular, and San Francisco as a high, $3.08 for regular.
Okay, I've sussed out what's happened here. Just in the whole lead-up to playing these Trilby Lundberg cuts, we did that thing again where we created a totally false persona for her that has no bearing on reality.
No, I think she's probably about 65 years old and wears suits from Dress Barn.
Just some chain-smoking housefrau.
In the lower 48, we have Tucson as a low, $2.51 for regular, and San Francisco as a high, $3.08 for regular.
All right, you know what she sounds like? She sounds like the woman on the sort of, like the voicemail thing that you call. And, you know, it's like she tells you what the school lunch is going to be for that day.
Oh.
This morning we have fish sticks as well as sloppy joes with a chocolate chip cookie. And, you know, or whatever. All right, well, there you go. That's Trilby Lundberg right here at Legion of New. That's the reason you listen, right there.
Police say a dozen young people, most of them women, were taken to hospitals after overdosing on an unknown substance that may have been slipped into their drinks at a house party in central Washington on Saturday. Police reported multiple overdoses. Some of the victims said they became ill after consuming only one or two beverages. Local police chief Scott Ferguson said it appeared as though the drinks were spiked.
We suspect that, again, that these drugs were introduced to these students probably without their knowledge.
That's what spiking would be. Yes. Freshman Chris Unger was at the party, and he believes he knows what was in the drinks.
We knew immediately it was roofies, and we were trying to investigate who did it.
With my advanced degree in electrochemical engineering and my periodic table and that I carry around with me and my centrifuge, I was able to determine that it's... I think when he says, well, we knew immediately it was roofies, I think he's just speaking colloquially there. I think perhaps they are overstating the degree to which Chris Unger, student, yeah. is aware of the chemical composition of the substance. That's a thing you actually take. I think you require elaborate, unless you are, in fact, the person who did it, Chris Unger, man on the street. I think you have to sort of analyze the substance to figure out what it is, right?
Well, also, and I would say that if you were dosed with the roofies, you would not realize it because it causes, memory loss. And if you are a boy in college and you are able to say incontrovertibly...
this tastes just like roofies.
You know, we knew immediately it was roofies. Like, really? How exactly do you know what the effect on women of roofies is immediately, Chris Unger?
Because he tapped it with his finger and then rubbed it inside his gums, Don. And then he and the other cop decided the guy was going to do 10 to 12 minimum. So, and by the way, so roofie, that is short for Rohypnol, which is a thing that I've never tried, but which just sounds awesome. I mean, not in the raping sense. There's nothing awesome about raping, but just in the sense that I sometimes have difficulty going to sleep, and it sounds like this solves that issue, you know, without any problem whatsoever. It seems like you go from A to Z very quickly.
So now what is the thing that they give you when you have surgery so you don't remember them doing things to you?
Well, one of the drugs that they do that with, and I don't know why I know this, is scopolamine.
Okay.
And scopolamine is not a pain reliever. It is an amnesiac.
Yeah.
And so you know, it's just torture and agony and misery on me. But then later on, you're like, what? Surgery? Get out.
Yeah, because when I had surgery the last time, they gave me one of those before I went into the operating room.
Right.
It was part of the anesthesia, and it's actually I find it really sort of really disturbing.
Oh yeah,
because it's like I remember being in the room before the surgery. I remember talking to the anesthesiologist. I remember being in this holding area, you know, in the bed, and I remember them starting to wheel me through some doors. And then the next thing I remember is like waking up later from the stuff. And it's very weird to have that thought where it's like, I could have been conscious for some stuff that was incredibly painful. And at the time I was like screaming my head off in agony. But then like now I don't know.
You don't remember the early part of, oh, you savages! Ah!
Well, it is also, it's kind of mind-blowing to think about it because like the next time I have surgery, you know, it's like what... there's got to be this point, if you know they've given this to you, where you go, well, later I won't remember this happened, but right now it's horrible.
Yes.
But then later you don't remember it, so it's like it never happened. But it did happen, and when it did happen, you knew it was happening. But then later, it was like gone. And that's just freaky to think about.
You're blowing my mind, man. It seems like you and Chris Unger need to get yourselves in a dorm room right now and put on some Pink Floyd and carry on this conversation late into the night while listening to Dark Side of the Moon and staring at your Jim Morrison poster while it melts.
Well, the investigation started when officers said sheriff's deputies responded to a report that a person who apparently overdosed was at a grocery store. Acting on information from the victim's friends, police went to the party, found 11 more young people either passed out or semi-conscious.
Wait, if somebody had overdosed, how were they at the grocery store?
Well,
this is some different usage of the word overdose.
Yeah, I think what they mean is effed up.
So somebody who was trashed was at the grocery store, because that's an uncommon thing near a college. What college was this at?
This was the Central Washington University.
You know, I'm from Washington. I don't even know where that is. And don't tell me it's in Central Washington.
Well,
I could have figured that out.
It says Roslyn, Washington, so I don't know. Is that where they have the UFOs?
I thought that's where they filmed, isn't that where Northern Exposure takes place?
Yeah, but that's in Alaska.
Oh, not in Washington.
No. Anyway, a young woman student says she never travels alone.
No, I definitely wouldn't go out without my group of people.
Thanks for weighing in.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that was great.
There you go. The voice of tomorrow.
Thank you, ma'am.
There you go. There's your country's future.
Okay.
You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. It's also available later on the day via iTunes or at legionofnews.com. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up at 1 o'clock today. Coming up today, we have a penis watch. Mm-hmm. Also, Geek Watch. We'll have Aaron Duran's week In Geek as well. Aaron Duran's Week in Geek plus.
And it is Geektober. So.
And it is Geektober. Oh, and we have more entries for the Geek-O-Lantern contest. So that's all coming up in the 1 o'clock hour at rickemerson.com. You are listening to Legion of News, brought to you by a series of fine folks up to and including Castalia Language Center. Castalia Language Center, which is in the person of Clara Grebel, who is a native Spanish speaker from Argentina, and sort of a. I was going to do a your people maize, my people corn kind of a thing, but it didn't really work there. So
it's the season for it, though, with the corn mazes.
Yeah, but on every other level, that just sort of falls apart. And by the way, can I tell you this? That I was like 33 before I figured out the whole it's a corn maize kind of a thing. Like, I was the last guy in the Western Hemisphere to get that there was a joke there.
Well, once they started putting eyes in the word maize on their signs, because I guess they figured, you know.
See, no, and maybe that was the problem, is that growing up, it just said it was corn maize, M-A-Z-E, and I was like, I don't get it. I guess there's some humor here, but it's eluded me thus far. Well, whatever. Anyway, the idiom sort of, the idiom was not readily apparent to me. Hey, speaking of idioms, so here's the thing. You want to be able to speak Spanish, and you want to speak it conversationally. You don't want to be, stilted in your speaking style, do you, Don Taylor?
No, I do not.
Here's what you don't want to sound like, kids. You don't want to sound like, even if you are not actually this guy, you don't want to sound like the guy who's sitting there looking at like one of those little yellow-bound Berlitz phrase books going, and I, yo... Tener? Diarrhea. Baño! You know, and just sort of hunting and pecking your way through Spanish. You don't want to do that. Especially because, comparatively speaking, it is a relatively easy language to learn because it has internal consistency and structure and all that. And, you know, the right environment is a big part of that. And the right environment is Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about it at portlandspanish.com, where they keep class sizes to a maximum, no more than 8 people. How many people, Don?
Ocho.
That's right, 8 people. And, you know, it's adults only, which means you're going to be learning at the same way and the same rate as everybody else. They can find a day and a time that works with your schedule, whatever it is your life might require from you other days or other times. They can find something that's going to work, and no matter what your level of Spanish proficiency or proficiency in... choke. Fail.
I was just going to
throw out a little bit of the Spanish lexicon there, but I haven't. You know why I wasn't able to do it?
Because you haven't taken any classes from Clara Grebel?
That's right, because my classes don't start yet.
Because you know nothing?
Because I got to wait for my wife, who's an accomplished world traveler and done is able to speak the language and look way smarter than I am. So, anyway, you want to be able to speak in a conversational, colloquial fashion. You want to be able to do it correctly, and you want to be able to do it in a schedule that works for you. Find out more at PortlandSpanish.com. That's how you find Castalia Language Center, PortlandSpanish.com. Here's Don Taylor.
Accusations of lying and even mob activity were thrown around during a debate today between the two candidates vying for President Obama. Is this today or was this actually yesterday? This says today, but I think it was yesterday.
Sure.
Between the two candidates vying for President Obama's old Senate seat in Illinois.
Let me understand this. In Illinois, somebody was throwing around accusations of mob ties.
Right.
All right.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Republican Congressman Mark Kirk accused Alexei Giannoulis of being the loan officer behind several loans to mobsters and convicted felons.
What is the name of this cut?
This would be Illinois.
All right.
This is Giannoulis.
It's a political war. I understand that. But for him to say that, to characterize my family that way is misleading. It's offensive. People aren't buying it.
Well, okay. I guess I should. Is it, do we have additional cuts on that story?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, there you go.
Apparently, you know, because in Chicago, if people accuse you of being connected to the mob and you're in politics.
Why would you even deny it?
That's just outrageous.
If somebody accused you of being connected to the mob, I mean, I don't know that I would. I mean, I wouldn't admit it. I wouldn't say whether it were true or not. I would just say, I would just arch an eyebrow and I would say, and what is your point? And then I would just maintain like an unbroken eye contact and just stare at the guy. And then just sort of. You know, my knuckles right into the microphone.
No, you just say, I'm running for Congress in Chicago. Come on.
Or maybe not even answer. Like if the guy says, you know, isn't it true that you have had dealings with organized crime? And you just stare at him and you're just going to. And then, you know, and just, you know, and, you know, and you just see what he says. Just see how long it takes him to sweat.
Of course, they are trying to get President Obama's old Senate seat in Illinois. And we know that there's no possible way that President Obama could ever have been up to no good because he's saintly.
This is President Tad Obama.
No, President Barack Obama.
Barack. I always make that mistake.
Barack Obama.
Isn't there a... And I know I'm a big tool for not knowing this. Isn't there a Mortal Kombat character named Barack?
Are you sure you're not thinking of B.A. Baracus on the A-Team?
No. Okay, first of all, No. I was going to say first of all, but I'm just going to go to the skip to the bottom of the page. No, I'm not. For reasons that are just the myriad beyond counting. No, I believe that there's a character in Mortal Kombat, and his name is Barack. Because he's sort of... What does he look like? He's got he kind of looks like Nosferatu, like the sort of Max Shrek.
Okay.
Nosferatu, and he's got he's got these sort of weird bat-like kind of ears, and then he's got hands that are almost sort of, they're almost kind of claws. You don't know what I'm talking about. You thought
no.
It was B.A. Baracus.
I've never played Mortal Kombat.
By the way, Roslyn is where they filmed Northern Exposure. So that's the deal there. So it didn't take place in Roslyn. I mean, it did, but
well,
they called it something else. Yeah.
No, the town was called Roslyn because it was named after one of the two women who founded the town. But they may have filmed it
in Roslyn, Washington.
In Roslyn, Washington.
Or this, whoever it is that's typing this could just be a maniac. I mean, it's like I gave you, it's, it's 10 to 1 and pick them there. So, by the way, it's Baraka. It's not Barack, but it is a B-A-R-A-K-A. So you just add an A to the end of it, so it's Barack and a Baraka. So maybe one is like an alternate universe version of the other. That'd be awesome if every now and again, if like, some guy at the UN was just kind of bumping his gums and just wouldn't shut up. And, Barack Obama just, and just out with the spine and then held it aloft.
Is that what the Mortal Kombat guy does?
Yes. It's not what Barack does. Barack is. Now, and see, now you're doing it to me. That's not what Barack is, whatever his finishing move is. I forget what his finishing move is. I was only ever good at the chick characters in that game anyway, for some reason. And then Kofi Annan says, finish him. You're listening to...
Oh, I know. I was thinking of a different game. I've played Mortal Kombat. Okay.
You were thinking of Crystal Castles.
Yes.
You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up today at 1 o'clock over at rickemerson.com, the home of amusement. This is Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Is your science on the march for Monday, right here at Legion of News?
An increase in the population of a tiny crustacean and busy shipping lanes are being blamed for a jump in the number of whale deaths in Northern California waters this year. With at least 5 whales reportedly killed in the region since July, researchers believe an abundance of krill, part of the whale's favorite food group, might be leading the whales into the paths of ships. A spokeswoman for the Gulf of the Farallones National Marine Sanctuary told the San Francisco Chronicle that an estimated 2,800 blue whales, 2,600 fin whales, and 1,400 humpback whales regularly ply the waters off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington. Mary Jane Schramm says the organization is working on measures that could reduce the number of collisions between whales and ships. So, there you go. There's a lot of krill. Way too much krill. And so the whales are coming into the shipping lanes and going, woohoo, krill!
Bam!
And then, and getting hit by ships.
This is one of those... Now, let's see, my brain is just... It's locked in a groove now because isn't there a Star Trek character named Krill? See, now I'm thinking of Krull, who's not a Star Trek character at all. Can I tell you somebody, that I know somebody who had a Krull-themed wedding.
I think there is a character on Star Trek whose name is very similar to Krill, and I know this because I kept saying, is that character's name Krill? And my husband kept going, no! Those are those little fish that the whales eat! And I was like, okay. But there is a name that sounds very similar to Krill.
Or am I conflating Krull and Krill, which is the whale food, with... Isn't there something in Star Wars, in like a Krillian... Nah, never mind. I'm just going
to
stop
this
right
now. I'm the wrong
now.
Person to ask about any of this.
Is it the... I have to hold myself to like a 900 tangents per show limit or something. This is Don Taylor.
Time spent in front of the computer or television screen is associated with psychological problems in children, no matter how physically active the child is, according to a new study. That means kids can't make up for lots of TV time by spending extra hours running around, the researchers report in the November issue of Pediatrics. The findings also suggest that the way kids spend their sedentary time, not just how much of it they have, matters for mental health. Previous studies have shown that physical activity is good for kids' psychological functioning and that time spent in front of TV screens is bad for mental health. What researchers didn't know was whether one could cancel out the other. The researchers asked 1,000 British 10 and 11-year-olds how much time each day they spent in front of the computer or TV. The children also wore accelerometers around their waists for a week to track their physical activity and sedentary time. The study found that regardless of age, gender, socioeconomic status, or whether the child had hit puberty, more than 2 hours a day in front of a TV or computer was associated with more emotional and behavioral difficulties.
Whatever. I resent the implication that television is bad for children. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying kids shouldn't read, because clearly they should. But I reject out of hand the notion that television somehow is just inherently bad or makes you dumb or thick or stupid or whatever. I think the TV really does get a bad rap.
Well, I have a problem in the study that they don't seem to be distinguishing between watching television and doing stuff on the computer. And they also don't detail what it is they're doing on the computer. Because I think, because watching television programs is a passive activity. Playing computer games is not. And then if they're spending a lot of time in, like, chat rooms and doing that, I mean, there are certain activities I could see being a little more damaging to mental health, and some that I don't think would be damaging to mental health. And they're just lumping them all together into being monitor activities. You know what I mean?
This is one of those things where I'm just opening my mouth to really stridently disagree, even though none of us have the vaguest idea of what we're talking about. We're both just so unbelievably, mindlessly inept in these sorts of discussions. Because we're not... You know what you and I are? You and I are both, you know, some people say, we are some people, just charging forward blindly with a really, really strongly held and loudly voiced opinion having no actual basis for it.
That's what they pay us for, Rick Everson.
That's right. We know what America likes. I was just going to say that people say that television is watching television is a passive behavior, and I don't really know that that's true. I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying, I guess if you are literally just staring in the direction of the screen but not actually watching the show, that's true. But, I mean, it's not a passive activity in the sense that, you got to process what's happening, and you have to follow the story, and you have to analyze the discussions or the actions or the behaviors of the character to track what's going on.
Yeah, but you're doing any...
A massage is a passive activity.
Well, I don't know. To me personally, I think that listening to music, watching TV, watching movies, things like that, they seem to be passive activities. You're not making any decisions. You're not making any choices. There are no actual challenges involved for you. There's no real there's no interactivity. You know, and that doesn't... And, you know, passive not necessarily being a negative thing. It's just that you are having the story told to you while you just let them do it for you. Whereas if you are, you know, this reading a book to an extent is also a passive activity.
We're now entering the glorious land of Semantica, population us. All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. I'm sorry, that's Cascadia.FM.
Yes.
Ah, fail. Sorry about that. This is Don Taylor, the Legion of News news desk.
Researchers have found that sugary and fatty foods can affect your brain chemistry in much the same way as drug addicts are affected by cocaine and heroin. Dr. Barry Norman, medical director of Insight Psychological Centers, says both food and drugs can have a big impact on the dopamine system in the brain, which gives you a sense of pleasure, reward, and satisfaction.
Depending on the response of their brain chemistry to these highly palatable foods, for those types of people, I do believe that there are very strong similarities with addiction and illicit drugs such as cocaine and heroin.
This guy sounds just like my shrink. That's the weirdest thing. It's kind of freaking me out a little bit. What's his name?
Dr. Barry Norman.
Oh, no, different guy altogether. All right.
He has two first names.
Yeah, he does. He could be doing a drive time afternoon show, you know, somewhere.
Norman says the feeling of satisfaction and pleasure isn't as strong with food.
There is a difference in degree, which is important to point out, that substances such as cocaine and heroin are more potent, and they can have a much stronger and more intense impact.
So sound like he's
on the dopamine system in
pleasuring
the brain
himself while he's talking.
Than food can have.
Sounds like he's given himself a good grope while he's being interviewed there.
So to recap, drugs, which are designed to have a specific effect on the brain chemistry, have a stronger effect on the brain chemistry than food.
There you go. The thing I wonder about is the chemical dopamine, and I always wonder if that is from where we derive the slang dope for drugs.
Possibly.
Because it's something, because on drugs, either they either release something or they stop something from being released or whatever. I can never figure it out.
I know. I've made no secret of the fact that I was in treatment at one time for an eating disorder. And I remember there were some studies done in, and I'm not making this up, but there were some before anybody pops up in the chat box.
Thinking nerve strike?
There were some studies done in the 80s that determined that the jump in like your serotonin level and stuff, people who are compulsive overeaters, people who are binge eaters, that it actually has a similar effect on serotonin, dopamine, as people who are alcoholics and use cocaine. That essentially you're self-medicating in much the same way as people, you know, who become addicted to those drugs. Because, yeah, you know, it you're basically trying to make yourself feel better.
Serotonin would be my suicide girl name. If only I had breasts and anybody wanted to see them.
You would be an excellent suicide girl, by the way.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. The Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. That is at 1 o'clock. The Rick Emerson Show at RickEmerson.com. If you are not yet a subscriber to the Rick Emerson Show, then your life is really just one big parade of miseries, a trudging enduring of one down ending after another, leading only to the grave and an unfulfilled life.
You should eat some food.
Exactly. Or they could do something else with that money, Dawn. Sure, you could buy food. Fine. You could clothe yourself.
But how else could you increase the pleasure centers of your brain?
No. It's like you're going to put the idea in their head that they ought to be spending their money on food and shelter and taking care of their families.
No, I was saying they should eat food to increase the dopamine in their brain and to bring them pleasure and make them happy.
But I'm saying that they don't need food if they've got the pleasure brought to them by
The Rick Emerson Show.
Whatever. Anyway, you can subscribe at rickemerson.com. That is a mere 32 cents a day. That is, and really, what kind of food are you going to get for 32 cents a day that isn't at the bottom of a dumpster? I mean, really, come on. That is 32 cents a day, and if you find that is somehow beyond your financial means, or if you're just a tightwad, you can have that granted to you via the Rick Emerson Grant, and it's courtesy of our good friends at New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance. Find out more at rickemerson.com. We are giving away 10 one-month subscriptions every single month because Rick Emerson cares. Don Taylor is at the Legion of News news desk.
That was all the science. No more science.
All right, fantastic. There you go. So, science on the march right here at Legion of News.
Sometimes I found myself there talking to you the way I talk to my dog.
Thank you.
That was no more science.
I appreciate
it. There's no more treats for you.
Okay, Don.
Portland's Bureau of Environmental Services said people should stay out of the Willamette River because some sewers overflowed into it during recent rains. So unlike all the other times when it's okay to be in the Willamette River because it's clean and awesome. In many areas of Portland, sewage mixes with stormwater runoff in the sewers. When there's too much runoff, the sewers overflow into the river.
Where does all this sewage go? I don't mean from when it goes from the sewers into the river. I mean, you know, there's rain and then the sewers flow into the Willamette. But then, some of the sewage stays in the Willamette. But, I mean, the Willamette goes somewhere, right? Where does the Willamette go? I know that sounds like a dumb question.
I believe it flows into the mighty Columbia.
Is that true?
I think so.
I don't know. I have no idea. You could tell me it goes into the ocean. You could tell me it goes into the Arctic Sea. You know, it ends up in the Sea of Gibraltar, Rick. Yeah. I would have no idea.
I'm pretty much as poor at geography as you are.
So basically, we're just dumping our poo into the Columbia via the Willamette. The Willamette is to the Columbia as the sewage center is to the Willamette.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way,
it doesn't stay in my backyard.
You should avoid swimming or water skiing in the river for 48 hours after the rain has stopped.
Okay, duly noted.
The rest of the time, though, have at it.
Because I was gonna. That was on my list of things. That was items 1 through 9 on my to-do list for this afternoon. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. And don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. Still to come this hour, your entertainment news is on the way. And speaking of filth and sewage, now I'm sure that these aren't things that are found in your home, at least not in your carpet. And woe be unto you if that is the case. Well, I told you the thing on Friday, right, Was this on the air on Friday, or was it after the show? My hideous, evil-souled dog managed to pull that pizza down that I met up on the stove. And it's like, I feel like I was going to do this over the weekend, and then I realized it was just another guy forcing his dog photos on people. I was actually going to get like a sort of perspective shot of Max, my dog, and then the sort of like the relative height of where the pizza was, and then just to sort of figure out, like, how is this happening? And it is to the point where I feel like I am going to set up some sort of surveillance camera that I will not make everybody watch, but just so I can figure it out. Because Bella probably does stuff like this, where you're like, how did you even get that thing out of the freezer? It's padlocked. And Bella's going, I don't know, but it was really good.
My dog is a good dog.
Even that's a lie.
She doesn't pull things down off of counters and off of tables and stuff. In fact, I can even leave stuff on the coffee table, which is right at her height. And she doesn't eat things that she knows aren't for her.
Yeah, see, Max draws no such distinction. I mean, I was able to sort of mold. You know, it's like adopting a really unruly child. You know what I mean? There's certain behaviors that you try to train out of them, but whoever had them last just did a bad job.
I will tell you this, though. If my husband, and it's never me, it's always my husband. If my husband is dumb enough to leave the garbage can in the middle of the kitchen floor because he was throwing something away and doesn't put it back under the sink, if we leave the house, the dog is like, woohoo, buffet, because she just assumes it must be okay or we wouldn't have left it right there in the kitchen for her.
So the dog, so Bella will leave like a piece of coffee cake alone, but if you leave a bowl of garbage juice out, she goes right for it.
She knows that things on the tables are off limits, but for some reason she doesn't realize. You know, she never learned any lessons about the garbage can.
Well, because she doesn't see you eating it.
Right.
Presumably.
Exactly.
Okay. So added to the list of things that are, you know, that are sort of, because my wife's returned from, you know, from Turkey or whatever, you know, in a few weeks. Everything sort of rotates around that. That is the sun around which all of my upcoming obligations rotate. Yeah. They all rotate around that as a fixed point. So like with taking the Spanish classes at Castalia Language Center. And then the week before she comes back home, Michael Beatty of the cleaning solution is going to come to my fine home and try to get it back to some sort of livable state. I don't know how long it's going to take him, but he'll stay as long as is necessary. You can find out more about the cleaning solution, 971-533-3211. And if you don't have that number handy, you can find it at rickemerson.com/contact. You want to write it down and just keep it next to, like, you know, that number for, like, when your kid swallows bleach or whatever. You know, there's, like, the poison control and then the, you know, exterminator and whatever. You just have Michael Beatty right there, because, like, any number of things that go wrong in your house will involve some sort of stain ending up on the floor. And it's like, on top of everything else, you don't have to worry about coming home and getting blood out of the rug or whatever. So you just let somebody else do that. 971-533-3211 for your tile, entryway, a little linoleum, hardwood, carpet, anything your feet might touch. The cleaning solution, 971-533-3211. Here's Dawn Taylor.
There's a new addition to the family at SeaWorld Orlando. I would have us play happy news, but then you're just going to have to turn it off for, you know, the audio, so. Okay, well, let's do it anyway.
I could do this. What sort of happy? Is this about animals?
Yes.
Let's see. How about the...
Oh, that's a nice one. A 34-year-old killer whale gave birth Saturday morning in Shamu Stadium's main pool to a 7-foot-long, 350-pound calf. Moments after the 45-minute delivery, the baby whale instinctively swam to the surface for its first breath. SeaWorld's curator of animal training, Kelly Flaherty-Clark, says mother and baby, the sex of the baby is not known yet, will be nearly inseparable for now.
What we expect to see and what people can expect to see are them spending a whole lot of time very close together.
Clark says Katina and the baby will have plenty of time to bond.
We're going to pretty much stay out of her world and let her be with her baby and be in that world when she invites us.
Because, you know, she's a killer whale and she just had a baby. Probably best to leave her alone.
Yeah, but, you know, they like to eat in peace.
So that's the happy news.
All right, there we go. Okay, there's your happy news for whatever the hell day this is. Is it Monday?
This would be Monday.
Monday, October 11th, 2010. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Minnesota Vikings quarterback Brett Favre is getting ready for the big game tonight with his old team, the Jets.
The big game? Okay.
But he's got a lot more on his mind. The NFL is investigating a website report that alleges Favre sent messages and sexually explicit photos to a former TV host. Sports writer Max Kellerman says, if it's true, Favre may not get in that much trouble with the leak.
Now, I have a couple different cuts here. Which
this is 02.
This is, we're actually starting with the second one here. Okay, this is Favre 02.
The trouble usually comes from the denial. Roger Clemens insists on testifying in front of Congress. I didn't use steroids. Well, what if he did? He could be in big trouble. Favre, when asked about it, simply said, I have my hands full with the Jets this week, and didn't deny it. And I think it's kind of smart, especially if he did it.
Is that what he named them, the Jets?
Sports website Deadspin has posted naked pictures, text, and voice messages it alleges are from Favre to model and former TV host Jen Sturger. Here is a clip from one of the voice messages.
Premier Tech, love to see you tonight. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Well,
that's shocking.
Wow, that was racy.
Yeah, especially because it sounded like he was calling from inside the cockpit of something or other there. Where was he even?
Premier Tech, love to see you tonight.
Doesn't it sound like
you're
going to be cruising at 35,000 feet? You'll be able to see the Grand Canyon and the Cooley Dam if you look out the left side of you.
All right. Well, there you go. Here's what I don't get. These guys, the celebrity guys, who are always sending pictures of their junk to people, which seems to be happening on a pretty regular basis now. If you were, let's say you're Brett Favre, and you just, you know what would really woo that woman? Not the fact that I'm fantastically wealthy and famous and like a world-class athlete. I will send her a picture of my turgid member. Why would you not just send her a picture of, some guy's junk off the internet? Like she's really going to be able to tell it? Really? I mean, come on. I mean, she's there with a magnifying glass and actually is, putting you in a lineup in the hotel room, before she does you. Why would you not just... There ought to just be some website where it's I realize this is retarded because the internet is really nothing but this. I was going to say, there ought to be some website where there's just pictures of nudity.
If only such a thing existed.
Don, I've hit on the best money-making scheme. Anyway, but if you're some guy who's no, I'll send her a picture of my groin. That's what chicks really want to see. He ought to just log it. I mean, you go to Google right now, random groin shot, bam, and you just get it and you send it. And then, then your problem is solved.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's like, I just don't understand that at all. Anyway, it's this weird male thing of completely misunderstanding what women are like, that it's like, well, I really am turned on by pictures of boobs. So therefore, if I want to attract a lady, I will show her my penis.
Well, I think
my Craigslist ad is going to include this picture of me with no pants on.
I think the problem is that, with some guys, especially you got to figure a guy like Brett Favre. I mean, I don't know if he's married or single or I don't know anything about him. Because I'm not much of a sports fan. I'm less than a man in that way. So I don't really know anything about his personal life or whatever. But you got to figure a guy like that, if not actually him, a guy like that, you got to figure he bangs just a ton of skanks, right? I mean, it's not like he's, because you can, so why not? I mean, it's just sort of, it's like Edmund Hillary, they're there. So, this is just my assessment. This is just my own sort of anecdotal observations. But in my experience, the trashy chicks are way more likely to be into that than non-trashy chicks. Trashy chicks are way more likely to be like, hey, and then there's a photo of his schlong. That's awesome.
So do you have experience with women
trashy,
of this caliber?
With trashy girls? Oh, yes.
And showing them pictures of your...
No, but I will say, though, the girls I know... if you look at, the whole... what's the word I'm looking for? Pantheon? Panoply?
Sure.
The Pantheon is the thing in... The Pantheon is the thing in Valhalla where the heroes are ensconced. I'm just saying, if you look at the continuum of girls that I have known in my life, there is a direct correlation between trashiness and then their interest in or a level of arousal in response to porn or male nudity. That's all I'm saying. Okay. And so if you figure you're a guy like Brett Favre, who just has it's like a bumper crop of hoes everywhere he goes. Maybe that's his experience. Maybe if he just gets it on with trashy chicks all the time, maybe he's come to believe that that's what all chicks everywhere want, even fine, upstanding women like yourself.
By the way, that was the name of my first album, A Bumper Crop of Hoes.
Bumper Crop of Hoes. I'll sell that to Ludacris later on. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment.
Here's your entertainment news on Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm.
Singer Ben Harper has filed for divorce from his actress wife, Laura Dern, in Los Angeles, citing irreconcilable differences. TMZ reports Harper asked the judge to deny spousal support to Dern, and he claims that they split in January. Harper is seeking joint legal and physical custody of their kids, Jaya and Ellery. The estranged couple married in 2005. 16-year-old singer Justin Bieber is working with Nicole by OPI to develop a collection of nail polishes that are inspired by several of his songs. The line, which comes out in December through Walmart, will have such nail polish names as One Less Lonely Girl, Me Plus Blue, and OMB. His autobiography, Justin Bieber, First Step to Forever, My Story, comes out October 12th.
And is that First Step 2?
Yes.
And is it, but is it forever?
No,
or?
the word forever, but the number 2.
So Justin Bieber he's creating a line of nail polishes.
Yes. I'm sure he was directly involved in the planning of this product.
I was actually going to ask. I mean, now does he, and I'm not asking this in a snarky way, now does he wear nail polish? Because, you know, some of the singers are flamboyant these days, what with their glitter and their glam and so forth. I mean, is that like a thing? Does he wear nail polish as part of his act?
I don't think so, but believe me,
I mean, it's not like it would be out of the question.
I don't know much about the Bieber.
Yeah, I mean, I got, and he's still like 9 or something, isn't he?
He's 16.
But I mean, he's not of the age of majority.
And he looks 12. So
I was going to ask if it was possible if he was the gay.
It is possible.
You know, and I'm not speculating. Of course, it's his business and so forth. But I'm just saying, you know, who knows? Maybe he's a boy who likes to feel pretty. Oh, so pretty.
I would not.
Pretty and happy and light.
Warner Brothers has decided not to release a 3D version of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Despite everyone's best efforts, we were unable to convert the film in its entirety and meet the highest standards of quality,
damn,
said Warner Brothers. We did not want to disappoint fans who have long anticipated the conclusion of this extraordinary journey. And to that end, we are releasing our film day and date on November 19th, 2010.
Oh, good
as
for them.
Planned.
Well done.
The second part of the film will be released in both 2D and 3D format. So, yeah, it is interesting that, you know, the studios haven't really cared about the quality of these converting 2D to 3D
which
movies
just look terrible.
So far.
They just look terrible.
Yeah, they look horrible.
Well, because I think they realize, though, that, I know this sounds dumb, but Harry Potter people, I think, are, you know, sort of hold them to a higher standard, I think, you know.
Yeah, I think they realize that their heads would be on
the audience
hikes.
Would kill them. Yeah,
yes.
Well, especially for the conclusion. And it's a little dicey that they're doing it with Deathly Hallows Part 2, which is the final, you know, like the final Harry Potter film, and unless she creates something else, which is always possible. But at least they're giving themselves now like a year or two to get it sort of, you know, right.
Yeah, I think they're hoping that the technology
might be
better.
Because it just dim and dingy and, was it the Clash of the Titans? Is that the one I'm thinking of? It looked like the bulb had gone out or something.
Well, Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland was another that just had this amazing art direction and costumes and stuff, but it was shot in 2D and then transferred to 3D.
Right.
So it just ended up looking like a bunch of flat cutouts stacked in front of each other.
It looked like
it was awful.
It looked like a ViewMaster. That was the thing. If you kids and you old people remember the ViewMaster, that's really what it was. It was just a bunch of cardboard cutouts placed at different depths, and then they simulated that, you know, by looking through the thing or whatever. And it looked like cheap ass 3D. I mean, it really did, which did not necessarily serve to underscore the brilliance of the sort of the visual design of the movie.
Yeah, and they just still haven't figured out how to render people well in three dimensions. It's like they seem, even when they shoot movies for 3D, it just, you know, animation still works better than live action, because the human beings still end up just looking really flat
and also
unnatural.
I don't know, maybe it's just me. Can I also just say, like, I don't care about 3D.
No.
I mean, and that's not like, and I don't think that's like an old guy thing, because, you know, they've had 3D since like 1940. So we've all, I mean, everybody alive now basically has grown up with 3D films of one quality or another. And it's like, I have never, ever seen a movie where, like, the entire experience was really, you know, enhanced. I mean, I guess I would say Avatar only in the sense that that's probably the only thing that made the film watchable to me, because it was just such a huge disappointment. But it's like, I've never, like, 3D schmeedy, like, it doesn't really matter. I'm totally indifferent to that.
I don't think I talked to you about this, but I did talk to Bobby Roberts about it on our show, Ham-Fisted Radio. And my husband had really wanted to see Resident Evil Afterlife, which is 3D.
Right.
And we were going, and I missed the screening for it, and we were going to go pay our own money to see it. And it's like, because it was in 3D at the Regal Cinema near us, it was $17.
Jesus Christ.
And so it's like, we're looking at each other going, and I'm like,
no.
We're not paying $35 to see this piece of crap movie. Ugh. It's just not going to happen.
Ugh.
So, The Social Network is the number one movie for the second weekend in a row.
Hey-o.
The Facebook story earned another $15.5 million to best the new romantic comedy, Life as We Know It, which, by the way, is really terrible.
That's not the Katherine Heigl
yes,
thing,
is.
Is it? Is it bad?
It, well, okay, let me put it this way. It's not. I've seen worse, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Okay.
It earned $14.6 million. Third place went to Disney's Secretariat. Here's a small piece of sound from The Social Network.
This is from...
Comparing women to farm animals.
I didn't end up doing that.
I didn't stop you from writing it. As if every thought that tumbles through your head was so clever, it would be a crime for it not to be shared.
You know, that chick who plays, I forget her name, the girl that dumps him in the opening scene of the film.
Yeah.
Nah, it's gone. She was really good, actually. I liked her quite a lot. I don't think I've seen her in anything else. I mean, maybe I have, but she hasn't really left much of an impression on me. But she was actually really, really good. The casting, the more I think about it, I got to see that film again. I've only seen it once. I got to see it another time because the casting was really, really good.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific film in every way.
Yeah.
It's one of the best films of the year, and I'm glad people are actually going to see it because it's a very talky movie about ideas. So it's really, I guess it just goes to show that people, there are so many people on Facebook and they're actually interested in the process behind, you know, what it is they're using every single day.
Well, and it's that, you know, it's the formula for the perfect Rick Emerson film is just, you know, like lock a bunch of people in a room and then just have them shout at each other angrily about something for like 2 hours. You know, half of the room is on one side of the equation, half of the room is on the other side, and then they just argue about something in escalating levels of volume and intensity for 2 hours. And then at the end, someone gets shot in the face.
That's really only good though if it's written by Aaron Sorkin or David Mamet.
That's true. No, I'm with you on that. Let's see, we've got a couple of clarifications here. Okay, first of all, the town was Sicily, Alaska.
Oh, that's right. Rosalind was Sicily's partner.
Rosalind, yeah. They added the S to an existing sign, blah, blah, blah. It says, I can't believe I know this or care. Now I'm off to get a life. Thanks. Let's see. This one says, you're right. Skanks respond positively to junk shots. So there you go.
Okay.
The old 3D is why you don't care about 3D films. And see, that's not really true. See, I mean, because like I said, I went to see Avatar, and, you know, sort of, you know, the 3D was really well rendered and whatever. And I saw that, what was the thing, the Cameron joint before that was Ghosts of the Abyss or whatever, that Titanic thing he did in 3D, which is, you know, I guess it's like a good film doesn't need 3D, and 3D is not going to save a bad film, which is why I say that I'm indifferent to it. It's like the movie is either good or bad, and 3D isn't really a deal breaker one way or the other.
And Pixar is doing an excellent job with it. I mean, like I said, with animation so far, I think it's been a lot more successful than with live action.
Yeah, it's just they just don't know how to do it. And it's like, you know, just not doing the job well is really what leads to your demise. Exactly. And, you know, that's true in many things, Dawn, including the electrical wiring in your home. Yes, you. Yes, I'm talking to you, guy who's just standing there in like a tool belt that you got for $3.99, and you're holding a screwdriver in one hand and a leaflet that you have printed from howtodoelectricalstuff.com in the other. You don't realize right now that your life is a flowchart, and you are at the should I do my own home wiring section of that flowchart. If you say yes, there is no next step. There's just sort of a black inky smudge on the paper, and then your weeping relatives who are inconsolable. If you say no, then there's this. There's 503-252-1609. That is the phone number for Squires Electric. You can also find them at squireselectric.com, a brand new business partner. Squireselectric.com, they are a fully licensed, bonded, insured, and trustworthy electrical contractor. And they've been in Portland for 12 years, and they do electrical wiring of any kind, whether it's at your home or your business. And, you know, and actually, I found out that, and I didn't know this, actually, a lot, like some of their biggest business comes, I don't know that it's the majority, but a lot of their business comes from actually going to rewire buildings where there has been some sort of incident, you know, where there's been, you know, there's been a fire, or there's been a flood, or there's been a whatever. And a lot of times that, especially the fire thing, comes from stuff that was just wired wrong the first time around. So, you know, and I'm not trying to say it's going to happen, you know, everywhere, that anybody tries to fix anything. I'm just saying it's tricky stuff, you know, and it's time consuming, and doing it right, even if you know how to do it. It's like, you know, it's like fixing your car. Even if you know how to do it, sometimes doing the job well just takes more time than you got, because you got, you know, your life, you got your kids, you got your job, you got your disc golf, apparently, which is, like, required in Portland. So, you know, just, you know, here in America, you can just pick up the phone, another magical device, and you press 7 buttons, and the problem is solved. That's 252-1609, area code 503-252-1609, or squireselectric.com. They do free estimates. No job too small or too large. They are a brand new business partner here at Legion of News. That is squireselectric.com. Let's do one more short story here, and then we will bring the curtain down on this.
Well, George Michael was released from jail today after serving almost 4 weeks for driving under the influence of drugs. Michael thanked those who had supported him while he was jailed and said outside his North London home, "I just want to start again."
Start what again, exactly?
Drinking and driving again?
Seriously.
The former Wham singer received an 8-week sentence on September 14th for crashing his car into a London Photoshop while high on prescription drugs and marijuana.
Well done. There you go. Thus endeth another episode of Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget it's available later on today via iTunes as well as a direct download here or at legionofnews.com. The Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy is next at rickemerson.com. Legion of News comes to you from high atop the Milkpacking District here in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, on the Emerson News Network each and every weekday from noon until 1 p.m. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor, advanced technology manager provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, and chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. Again, The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com. In the meantime, in between time, we thank you for listening to another exciting installment of Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. FM.